Well, I count it a privilege again to stand before you in place of Pastor Steve. I'm not sure just exactly where he is. I think he is maybe still in Seattle, but he will return to the fine valley here, I believe, tomorrow. So I see a yes, so we'll be looking forward to having him back with us. I know that about a year ago, I spoke to you about the word luck. And I think we will agree that it is a word that really, when you think about it in depth, should not be part of our Christian vocabulary. Because I don't believe there is such a thing as luck. And today, I'm not going to talk about... forget it. Oh. I wanted that. There we go. Thank you, Kenny. There's another word that is very closely associated with luck. And that's the word coincidence. Do you believe in coincidences? What is a coincidence? Well, if you break the word down, co and incidence, it means that two or more things come together as something that happens. So, with that in mind, let's see what the Bible has to say about coincidence. And then I'm going to give you some instances from our life, my life, my wife's life, as to how they tie in to the word coincidence. Is there such a thing as coincidence? Think about it. Citing coincidence is how we humans explain those unexpected events and surprise meetings. But just because we're taken by surprise does not mean that God is. Scripture is clear that God allows sinful humans to make mistakes and reap the consequences of those mistakes. But only a sovereign God could also promise that he will make all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Concentrate on that particular verse as we go through the morning. In ways only known to God, he takes even our mistakes and unplanned events and weaves them together to fulfill his purpose. Have you ever had an encounter that you would say is definitely a coincidence? You know, you are maybe traveling, as we were one time, and we were in the the waiting area in the airport in Portland. Portland? Seattle? I don't know, somewhere up there. And as we were waiting around, waiting for our flight, I noticed a couple that looked very familiar to me. I cannot remember their names. That was too many years ago. But we found out that those folks were actually in our church back here, well, back here in St. Louis at that time. Now, was that a coincidence? Or was there some reason that we met those folks there? When that happens, if you try to come up with a name, who in the world is that? There's no way that you will come up with it. It just isn't there, because you're seeing these folks in a situation that is far removed from the normal. So you probably just shrug it off, dismiss it. And I suggest that rather than dismissing that encounter, ask yourself, why? Why did God put us together in this far remote city from where we've been normally see them? Now, Romans 8, if you consider it in this light, there was a purpose. There was a purpose that we met them there. Now, like me, most of the time, you're going to have a hard time explaining why. And for the most part, you probably never will. And yet there are times that you definitely understand what the purpose was. God chose to reveal it to you at that time. Several years ago, I worked for IBM, and as I do sometimes, not all the time, there was an engineer that sat next to me that I had the opportunity to witness to him. And as you have had probably many times, no result. He just shrugged it off. Well, that's your opinion. You've had that, haven't you? Well, several years later, Bev and I went to a meeting. I believe it was a Christian businessmen's meeting, dinner, something like that. We have never gone to it before and haven't gone there since. But all of a sudden, a fellow came up to me who I recognized as one of the engineers that I had witnessed to. And he said, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Well, yeah, certainly do." He says, "I'll bet you are kind of surprised to see me here." And, "Yeah, I guess." Well, he says, "I just wanted to let you know that all of that witnessing that you did back several years ago," he says, "I took it to heart and I have given my heart to Christ." Now, the reason that happened, I think, is that God wanted me to realize that there was a reason for my witnessing to him, and a reason for us to be there in that meeting, which, like I say, we've never been there before, never went there later. But God put us together at that time for the purpose, I believe, of encouragement to me that we had really connected back the many years earlier. Now, there's also times that you never understand why. Now, you remember here recently, we added Elaine Schallenberger to our mission list. Well, I've known Elaine for umpteen years, ever since she was a wee one. And her mother was with her. Bev and I walked into this doctor's office downtown Fruita, and all of a sudden, well, there's Elaine and Jane right there in front of us, waiting in the waiting room. Now, the last I knew, Elaine was in Jos, Nigeria, and Jane had moved to Wyoming. We talked, of course, and to this day, I still don't know why such a coincidence really happened. If anybody can explain that to me, that would be good. I'd like to know. But God has chosen not to explain it to me. Well, another one, kind of a funny instance as I look back on it, was in 1956, September 1956, and I started college at that little that little building that sits at the corner of 12th and North Avenue. You know, the little one, that little brick building. Well, they call that Mesa Junior College. A little different than it was all those years ago. But anyway, I enrolled in engineering, and the very first day of class, I had engineering algebra. So I picked up, and this was the first class of the day, the first class that I attended, and found my seat, sat down, and all of a sudden I realized that there was a young lady sitting right behind me. Okay, somebody's going to sit there. Well, it ended up that it was my now wife. Now, you talk about God weaving things together. He had it in mind that she was going to be my wife. Now, maybe Bev did too. She said, I'm going to get that guy. But she'll deny that. No, it was God that put us together there in that first day of class. Think about it. The very first day, first class of the day, and we're both sitting there together. And she had no intention of being in an engineering algebra class. That was not her intention. But she was a business major. Sorry to... anyway. But she needed another class. She didn't have her schedule full. So she says, there's an easy A. Yeah, right. So she took engineering algebra and sat right behind me. A year later, we were married. So it's funny to me, really, when you think about it, how God can put people together when it's His plan. That was certainly, in my mind, not a coincidence, because there could have been a dozen other people that could have sat in that chair behind me. But God saw to it that it was Bev. And I thank Him for that. She has been my helpmate for going on 61 years now, and it's great. God put, to me, He put the right people together. Well, I could go on and on. There's many things that have happened in our life that you might say were coincidences, but I don't. There's just, the fact is, there are some that I understand, and there are definitely some that I don't understand. One other one that I like to think about is the fact that during my time at in Boulder, after I graduated from Colorado University, I stayed on at two or three different companies. I've already mentioned IBM, and at this time I was working for Westinghouse, and we decided that we needed a larger house. So, 1973, April, we were building a house just less than a mile away from the lab where I was going to work. I was building the house myself, and it was, in today's standard, I don't know. You know, that was back in 73. I would guess that likely it would be a near $1 million house today, big one. I think we had 6 bedrooms, and it was a huge tri-level on an acre of ground. Well, to continue on, in April of that year, we were about halfway finished with the house. You know, I was just working on it on weekends and had some help. All of a sudden, I was called into my boss's office, And he said, well, as you know, Westinghouse has had a company-wide reduction in force. And he says, I'm sorry to say, but you're going to not have a job after the end of April. Uh-oh. Here I've got, in those times, I had a huge house, half built, and no longer capable of paying for it. Now what do I do? Sure. We thought and thought, and I had a friend that was also in the construction business that would take over construction of the house. Not a problem. So I thought, well, we'll get a job somewhere. So I interviewed up at in Washington at the Hanford Atomic Energy Plant. I interviewed in New Stanton, Pennsylvania, which was also a Westinghouse plant. And seemed like I interviewed one or two other places and heard that there's a possibility I could get a job at McDonnell Douglas in St. Louis. Uh-uh. No way. Bev says, I grew up back in that country and I don't want to go back to that heat and humidity. So I just ignored it. Well, it ended up that I could not get a job, so I did the next best thing that I could think of, is I finished building the house. And by the middle of 74, I had completed that house and built three others, except one of them was not quite finished. Anyway, we were just about that far away from bankruptcy. Because for those of you that remember the mid-70s, it was not a good time to be in the building business. So what are we going to do? Well, hey, there's a magic show at Colorado University Auditorium. Let's go. And so we went to this wonderful magic show. I wish I could remember who it was, but it was good. One of the fellows from our church was there also. And we met during the intermission. And he says, hey, Don, by the way, I know you're looking for a job. He says, there's a headhunter from McDonnell Douglas that has been bugging me about a job, taking a job back there as a tech writer. Okay. He says, I'm not interested. He says, I want to stay right here in Boulder, and that's just going to be the way it is. But he says, why don't you call her? You know, maybe there's some other job that she might know about back in St. Louis. Okay. So I called her, met with her a week or so later in Denver. And when she found out that I was a computer programmer, boy, her eyes lit up, and she says, I think I've definitely got an opening for you at McDonnell Douglas. She says, I will take down your resume, and we'll see what I can find. Because it just, it was startling because I knew that McDonnell Douglas was not hiring. They had been just laying off a lot of their engineers from the Mercury program. See, that takes you back a few years. Remember, this was 74. And so she called me back later and said, yes, they do have a job, and we need to set up some kind of a an arrangement where you can get an interview. Okay. And it came to pass that my future boss's boss called me. I had taken a vacation, if you will, at that time, clear down to southeast Kansas and was visiting with my father. And that guy called me down there and we must have talked for probably at least 30, 45 minutes. And he says, I think we've definitely got a job for you, but you're going to have an on-site interview. Okay, fine. Which I did. And one thing led to another, and they were very happy to get somebody that knew computer programming. And it so happened that I was the first engineer hired back after this massive layoff. So, again, the Lord put us together, put things together in the right manner that we went to the St. Louis area with Bev kicking and screaming because she didn't want to go back to the heat and humidity of the Midwest. But we went anyway. 5 years later, my boss called me in to give me my 5-year pin. And he says, you know, I never, never expected to ever do this. He says, you coming from Colorado out here to Missouri? And he says, you stayed 5 years. Well, it ended up I stayed 23 years. And there's many things that happened during that time that just shows that God really put things together and put Bev and I where He wanted us. One other thing that happened while I was at Mac, I had kind of gotten it in my mind that I'd kind of like to go to a Bible college. Well, it was going to cost dollars and dollars. And I was talking to one of the engineers who was currently attending Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. And I says, how are you doing it? I says, how can you do that and have a full-time engineering job? Oh, he says, it's easy. Covenant has a night program where you can get a master's degree and never have to go to school during the day. He says, you can take a couple of classes at night, and it works out great. Well, I don't know. I waited, I'm sure I waited probably a year or two, and saw him a time or two, and he says, hey, did you ever hook up with Covenant? I said, no, I really haven't. He says, it's still there. They still have their program. So it ended up that I went ahead and started in the seminary in the summer of 89. I paid for the whole thing myself. And I thought, boy, this, you know, it's not cheap. How are we going to do it? Well, the Lord must have put it on John McDonald's mind to work things out for me and many other folks. He set it up where, well, his words were sort of like, hey, we have all of these guys going to college. He says, what difference does it make what degree they're working on? He says, they could be working on basket weaving, but, you know, we ought to pay for it. So, starting in the fall of 89, I was able to attend 2 classes at Covenant and free of charge. I can't remember whether that included books or not. I don't think so. My wife knows. She doesn't know. Anyway, the tuition was free of charge, and that was, I liked that. At the same time, Bev was attending Lael University in St. Louis, working toward a master's degree in counseling. And Covenant so happened to have an arrangement with their students that if you were a full-time student, your spouse could attend Covenant free of charge. So that kind of worked out nice that it ended up that Bev and I started attending a number of classes together at Covenant. And finally, in 1994, I finally graduated with a Master of Arts degree. Now, this is going to underwhelm you. The title of it, General Studies in Theological... Wait a minute, that isn't quite right. Been too long ago. Anyway, General Studies in Theology. And that just... it isn't a Master Divinity or such as that, which I could have worked on, but I didn't. Anyway, I bring these things to you hoping that it'll encourage you to look at the circumstances that God puts you in and see if there isn't a reason that he's done this that you can see. If not, just go ahead and accept the fact that Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those that love God. And I'll tell you, I'm standing right here. I have experienced a number of these in my life. It's been a great time. Well, the time is fleeting, so we will quit. But when things happen to you in the Christian walk and faith, you say to yourself, what a coincidence. You should know that it is not. It's in God's hands, and his purpose will be fulfilled. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for taking care of us and making all things work together for the plan that you have for each one of us. Help us to realize that things don't happen for just a simple coincidence or what we would call luck, but that it's a plan that you have had for our lives from the very beginning of time. Thank you for all that you do for us in guiding our lives. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise in Christ's name. Amen.